Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The biggest sports story of the day, and it involves a book out from Ian O'Connor called Belichick, in which he details some more dysfunction and stories of a not-so-harmonious relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Yeah, and every Tuesday, we had him on yesterday, Mike Lombardi joins Straight Outta Vegas, and he was with Belichick for years, both in Cleveland and in New England. We'll have to see what he thinks. But first, though, let's just look at the consequence from a Vegas perspective. All right, Fez, how do we rate players in Vegas? By points. How many points per game? We don't often rate coaches, but when it's the genius, and that's what we call Belichick the genius, well, he matters. Let's start with Brady. Right now, on a per-game basis, how many points is Brady worth?
Brady is worth 6 points over his backup Hoyer.
Okay, 6 points. Now, I know Aaron Rodgers is worth 10. So are we saying that Brady just isn't even in the class of Rodgers?
Absolutely not. They're comparable quarterbacks. But Kaiser, the backup quarterback for Rodgers, is way inferior to Hoyer as a backup.
And that's an important lesson, guys, is it's always relative. The old joke, Joe Montana, how much was he worth? About a half a point when Steve Young was his backup. Hoyer, what, top five, I would make the case, backup quarterbacks? I'd make the case if I were drafting, I maybe would take Hoyer 25th, 26th. I think Hoyer's better than maybe six or seven starters right now, in my opinion. What do you think?
I think you could make that case way better than, say, a Trubisky or someone like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And remember, when San Francisco had Hoyer starting last year, they did not lose a single game by more than a field goal. Lost a lot of close ones. But then when I think Beathard was the follow-up, and things got tough before Jimmy G showed up. And then when Jimmy G showed up, Fez, your life got better, because we all know Fez and Jimmy G.
I love Jimmy G.
I mean, it's you don't hear that bass, like that low end of his voice. Like, say something right now, Fez. Say, I am Steve Fezzik.
I am Steve Fezzik.
Hold on. Now, this is him when he's talking about Jimmy G.
I love Jimmy G.
Now, Jonas, does that sound the same to you?
I don't think the people on the movie Alive, if they were to drop a steak out of the sky, would have sounded that happy about food being delivered as opposed to having dead bodies lying around as his love for Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's only growing. I have not seen it simmer down at all.
Well, listen, if he gets drinking a couple of white wine spritzers right, when you come to Vegas, he'll tell you about the Darwinian sense where the jawline and the symmetrical features in a leader. And I mean, he'll tell you a story why he likes Jimmy G, but I think it's more visceral. Okay, 6 points for Brady. I agree with that, Fez. Where do we put Belichick? Points per game.
3.5 points per game versus an average NFL coach.
Okay. I was thinking about this before the show. How do we break it down? I think there's three big buckets when it comes to coaching value. One is prior to the week of the game. So spring ball, game planning in the summer, all the things around that. I think that's bucket one. Bucket two is the week of the game, getting the game plan in place, etc. Number three is in game. Oh, look, they're playing this, you know, cover three. What do we do? Belichick says do this. So 3.5 points, you add them up. How much is, and we'll just go down to three buckets, how much of those 3.5 points would you say is up until prior to the week of the game?
1 point.
The week of the game, but not the game itself.
1 additional point.
Okay, now I did pretty well on my SATs. So 1.5 is left in game.
The genius is a master in in-game adjustments and decisions.
Okay, there's one other bucket I'm not sure we're addressing here, and I want to hit you with it. What about the appeal? Yesterday, we talked about the idea that the Browns wide receiver came over. Would he have necessarily been all anxious to come to another team if it weren't for Belichick? Now, I get certain players are going to think, oh, Belichick's tough. We're not having fun a la, what was that, Johnson with the Eagles was saying, if I remember, or one of the Eagles was saying, well, we win Super Bowls and we have fun. Maybe the Pats won a few Super Bowls more, but they don't have any fun. Some guys are going to self-select away from the Patriots, but a guy like Gordon that's trying to gain redemption, maybe Belichick is attractive to sign a guy like that. Do you think that's worth anything?
That is a great point. I think it is. I hadn't even thought about this, but getting a Randy Moss to come to your organization and getting him to play and follow the rules at a top level, maybe that's worth, gosh, could it be an additional point?
Maybe. So regardless, 3.5, 4.5, let's say a minimum 3.5 Belichick is worth points per game, Brady 6. So at least from a Vegas perspective, Brady is more valuable than Belichick.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So, guys, ESPN's power ratings are out. They come out weekly. It's the NFL power ratings for ESPN. One of us here flat out disagrees with the power ratings of a couple of teams for ESPN, which leads us to a little NFL, a little Straight Outta Vegas first ESPN conversation.
Oh, well, we know who the underdog is there, baby, because we will bet you on. I'd love to get some of those talking heads, not just at ESPN, anywhere. Fox, that's fine. You know, we should have a little picking contest. Put up maybe like $50K. You know, we can give 10% to charity. I think we have enough overlay, Fez.
Not a lot of sports analysts quitting their jobs to come bet in Vegas for a living. Well,
I wish they did. The bookies certainly do. But all that said, I think guys like Lombardi, guys like Joel Klatt here in about 10 minutes have massive information we don't have. It's just what Vegas does best is we assimilate that information from multiple sources and quantify it with a spread and find out where there's value. Okay, first team, we got three of them. We're going to go through quickly, Fez. You have a disagreement with Kansas City. Your power rating's 1 to 32. You can get those at my Twitter account, at RJ in Vegas. We'll be putting those out after the show, 1 to 32. ESPN says Kansas City is number three, third best team. Where do you got them?
I have them as my number seven rated team.
All right, so you are not as high on KC. I agree more with you. If you look at Football Outsiders, DVOA, which is pretty much ranking how good these teams are, Kansas City has the best offense. Kansas City has the best special teams. Kansas City has the worst defense. Not number 31, number 32. I don't know if you can be the third best team with the worst defense. By the way, KC at home, first home game, laying 6.5 to San Fran and Jimmy G. What's your gut? We'll be breaking that game down in more detail Thursday, Friday. What's your first gut feeling?
I love Jimmy G. I'm on the 49ers.
His voice changed again. All right, next team. Houston. ESPN has them at 22. You've got them?
11.
Number 11. Now, this one is harder for me to understand. I understand everyone's excited about Mahomes. Usually the media talking heads are going to be driven by the storylines. I don't get this one. Where did you have Houston before the season?
Had them 8th, I believe.
So it's just a small drop. We saw the Patriots not look good at all in week 2. They controlled and dominated Houston in week 1. And then we see Houston against Tennessee team with what? 2 or 3 linemen out?
And Gabbert at quarterback.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's where I was going next. And they still lose that game. And somehow you think, yeah, you know, they were 8th. Maybe a smidge less. I mean, I agree with ESPN more here. I would say they're more towards, I'm not even sure I wouldn't just plain agree. I was going to say 18. I'm not sure if they're even, I think they're below average for sure. Offensive line, atrocious. What have you seen from Houston that you like at all? Other than the remnants of, oh, you know, Deshaun Watson looked pretty good for like 3.5 games last year.
I saw them completely dominate the last 3 quarters of the game against the Titans. And
Whoa. The game they lost, they dominated?
The last 3 quarters, they trailed 14-0.
So those points don't count at the beginning or the end. This is fascinating.
I think the fake punt was completely unsustainable. Vrabel had some trickery in the first quarter, and Tennessee got out to a big lead.
and they held the big lead. How much did that? What was the final score?
20-17.
20-17. Whew. All right. We'll just say this. This is why there's chocolate and vanilla.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're excited to be joined by Joe Klatt from Fox Sports and a true college football specialist. How are you doing, Joel?
How are you guys doing?
Well, let me tell you, we've watched you and listened on the herd for a while now, and it seems like you've been pretty good at dealing with Colin's amateur-level questions on gambling, so we thought we'd bring you into the Lions Den here. You ready to go?
You bet.
All right. First question, where do you rank Alabama this century? We've been looking at our Vegas rankings. We've been looking at the Sagarin rankings. It seems like Texas is in the conversation with Vince Young. It seems like that Miami team in 01's in the conversation. Obviously, not a ton of data yet on this Bama team. Where do you got them?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I will give you a few more data points to support their claim. If you look at the five national championships that Nick Saban has won at Alabama, and you average out their scoring offense in those 5 years, and then you look at it in relation to what they have been so far this year, what you'll see is that they're scoring about 21 more points per game this year than they of last year's Rose Bowl together, which would be Oklahoma's offense and then Georgia's defense, because that's one thing that Alabama is still doing, is still playing top 10 defense. If they play like this the whole year, they will probably be, at least in my estimation, one of the two or three greatest teams of all time. And I actually thought the two best teams that I ever saw play played against each other in that 05 national championship. So for me, it would be 05 USC against 2005 Texas and Vince Young. And that was a Vince Young team that I actually had to play against when I was at Colorado twice that season, both in the state of Texas. VY was the single best football player I've ever been on the field with.
And I think that's fair to say. I mean, the only other college player that just looked like a different level to me was Barry Sanders in his day. But I think I agree with Joel 100%. And by the way, Joel, you can follow him on Twitter. It's pretty simple, at Joel Klatt. Let me ask you this about Saban. One of the beauties of being a big-name reporter and someone who's calling the games, and you're calling the Wisconsin-Iowa game this weekend, is you get to talk to these guys directly. Do you feel like Saban was just waiting for a new age elite quarterback that he could live with? Or and finally when Tua came along, it was like, here's the guy, like the 38-year-old that gets married, let's say. I finally found her. Or did he, you think, get convinced, Saban, that it was going to be hard to win in the modern era without a gunslinger?
I think that what you're seeing right now is the product of a couple of the defeats that he suffered earlier this decade. When you have Cam Newton beat you and he's transcendent, or Johnny Manziel beat you and he's transcendent, or just Deshaun Watson beat you and he's transcendent, I think that Saban started to change the style of quarterback that he wanted in his system, because it was very clearly a certain type of quarterback for a lot of years, and then it started to morph. And it started to morph because of those games in which he had to defend these other quarterbacks across from him that just were candidly indefensible at times. And so I think Tua is the quarterback at Alabama because Johnny Manziel beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and because Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago beat them in the national championship game. And candidly, I really believe that he has adjusted to the modern era and the modern game, very similar to how Bob Stoops did it, very similar to how Gary Patterson's had to do it. All these defensive-oriented coaches from their roots have at some point had to adjust the style that they're not only recruiting but also playing and philosophically using on the offensive end. I think it's a product of that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.